This is Sex Science Saturday, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. And this week we'll be talking about science and your penis. Assuming you have a penis, but even if you don't have one, you probably know someone who does. And you might even know someone who doesn't, but really should. There's big news coming out of Johns Hopkins. One of the tragic things to come out of war is that there are men who do lose their penis. And now Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine said within the next year it will begin offering penis transplants specifically for wounded soldiers. The surgery will use organs from deceased donors, and within months the patient should start to regain urinary function, sensation, and even sexual function. Now, the surgery is experimental. There's only really been one successful one done so far. We reported on that here. It was a 21-year-old man in South Africa. The problem with our wounded soldiers is not a trivial one, and it's not a small one. Since 2001, every year, about 100 of our servicemen who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan have suffered genital wounds, 100 a year. Usually the injury was caused by an explosive device. It's a tragic thing to happen to, well, essentially these are all young men. They barely even had time to use their penises that much. So this really is a great thing. They're going to have 60 surgeries coming up, and they're going to monitor the results at Johns Hopkins. And what they're going to try to decide is if this works well enough that it can be something that they routinely offer to men who have these kinds of devastating injuries. Psychologically, they're one of the most difficult injuries for a man to deal with. One of the most amazing aspects of the South African patient who had the surgery last year is that he has since fathered a child. Now, whether you have a brand new penis or your old one, you might want to exercise it some, and there is a new device designed to help men perform pelvic floor exercises. Now, you probably heard of these as Kegels, and you might have assumed that they were only for women. And while it is true that if you're a man it's not going to improve the grip strength of your vagina, there are equal benefits that women and men both get from this, and that's that it can boost sexual stamina and it can prevent leaks from the bladder. The name of the device is the Kegel Boost. That's K-G-O-A-L. And however you might be imagining that you use it, you're probably wrong. You actually just sit on it. It's like a big pulsing button. It talks to a smartphone app and then guides you through a variety of exercises and different kinds of activities centered around flexing that region between your penis and your butt. You can even use it if you're fully clothed. And besides the straight exercises, you can even use it to play a game of Breakout. Now, this product is not available yet. It's actually a project on Kickstarter, but the same company previously made a somewhat similar device for women. Right now, they're about halfway to their goal of $100,000, a little more than halfway. Despite a number of advocates who suggest men just suck it up and use condoms and be happy about it, the truth is we need better condoms. We have better condoms, people use them more often. And research to help facilitate that is going on at Swinburne University in Australia. They're testing a condom that's made from a remarkable, relatively new material called hydrogel. It's made from water and molecular chains called polymers. It's much thinner and stronger than latex. It also feels surprisingly like skin. The way they tested it was to ask participants to touch five materials, including the hydrogel and lubricated and non-lubricated latex. You moved three fingers across the material up to 80 times. They were wired to an EEG machine, which measured brain activity. According to the lead professor, the hydrogel was the only one that had a strong hot spot at the right front of the brain, and they also got a perceptual novelty response. Now, I had this crazy idea. Why don't you put this on a penis, have people fuck and see how that works and measure it against people using regular condoms? Well, we don't do that because we don't really research science in any kind of adult way. Because you can get funding to do kind of semi-ridiculous testing like this, but you're going to have a hard time getting anybody to fund you to wire people up while they're having sex. You know, if you are a fan of the Showtime series, The Masters of Sex, which is about Masters and Johnson, things haven't changed nearly as much as you would think. There's still tremendous resistance to testing people who will actually have sex. Now, for perceptual stuff like this, it is true. It can be difficult in a laboratory situation to find people who are able to have sex, even couples, because doing this when you're wired up is very inhibiting, and doing it when there are observers is very inhibiting. However, there is a class of people that would not be inhibited by this. The whole swinger community, and porn stars, and quite a few people in the BDSM community, there are quite a few communities from which you could find people who wouldn't have any problem at all having sex in public. That solves half the problem of trying to do research that's a little more than just moving your fingers up and down 80 times. Google is teaming up with the University of Illinois at Chicago to track STDs. There's a lot we can do with putting together the data coming into databases, but until we actually put it together and create analytical models, all that data that we're collecting doesn't mean anything. You can't really follow trends, you can't really see where you're having bigger problems and where you need to focus your resources. There's tons of data out there, but it needs to be collated and modeled, and that's what this program is intended to do. It's going to be checking on chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis and other STDs, and it should be able to track where there are major outbreaks. Although there's another easier way to track where there are going to be the next major outbreaks, all you have to do is look at the communities where they have abstinence-only education, and they're cutting off women's reproductive health services. Those are the places you're most likely to find the outbreaks.